Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I was put on the calendar for the 17th or the 14th, and I didn't think anything about it. And then Neil said, yeah, we're doing a play on that day too, and it's about Christmas. And I was like, well, I thought I was getting out of that, but it didn't happen. And that's an inside joke for those in the meeting who know how I feel about Christmas, so we'll just deal with that. So an introduction. He's making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. So first I want to make it clear that I do not believe in Santa Claus. We never taught our child about Santa Claus and presents and all of that stuff, so I just want to make that clear. But one thing about Santa Claus is he is the poster child of materialism, fleshly wants, and excess. But the song brings up some great questions for us, and I want to pose those this morning as we look at some scripture and hopefully understand what Christmas is about. So what's Santa's purpose? To bring gifts. To whom does he give gifts? We just heard in the song. To those who are nice, to those who are good. Hopefully you're starting to think, well, I'm not nice, and I'm not good, so do I deserve a present? The answer is no. So it isn't a gift. It's better to be called a payment, something earned through works done by the recipient. The standard set by Santa is also vague. What does it mean to be nice, to be good? We're never told. So how do we know if we've ever met the standard, if we will ever receive something on Christmas Day? There's no certainty, no assurance, no contentment. Many people live their lives the same way. No certainty, no assurance, no contentment in knowing if God loves them, if God accepts them, if they've done enough good. With Santa, it's whether the present's going to happen or not. With God, it's of eternal importance. So turn with me in the scriptures to a very familiar verse, probably the most famous verse, and rightfully so, John chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 16. More than likely, you don't need to turn to it. Hopefully, you've memorized it. But as we're going through it, it's good to be able to see it for ourselves. So this one verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's pray before we get started with the message. Our Father, we thank you this morning that we're able to meet in peace without any concern of persecution or harm. We thank you that we are able to open up your word and actually have a physical copy of it. So many believers around the world don't have that luxury. But as we open it up this morning, as we look at this verse this morning, we pray that our hearts would be stirred to understand what this gift is, what it means to receive this gift, and just to be able to cherish that and know that it's for all eternity. We thank you, Father, for your love and your grace to us. We thank you for the children that are gathering this time now, preparing for the play that they're going to do after this. And we pray that all of this will be for your glory. We just ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So our concept of giving really isn't giving gifts. It's been said by spouses, by parents, such phrases as this: "You've been good this year. We're going to get you such and such for your Christmas." Or, as I heard quite often when I was growing up, "You don't deserve anything for the way you've been acting." I still ended up getting gifts anyway for some reason. The gift that we read about here in this verse is given based not on us, our conduct, our behavior, our deserving, nor our earning. This gift is given as a direct result of who the giver is. So who is the giver? According to the first phrase, it's God. For God gave, for God so loved. So salvation begins with God, not us. We find this out in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We read, in the beginning, God. That's just a statement. He's eternal. There's nothing more that we need to understand besides God was there in the beginning. Thankfully, he doesn't just stop there. He unfolds it throughout all of Scripture, who he is, and he gives us a glimpse of who he is. And yet there's so much more that we're going to see when we're with him face to face. But in the meantime, we have enough Scripture to understand who he is and what he's done for us. So God is eternal. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere present. He is the creator of us all, the sustainer of life. It is by his will that we live and move. The very heartbeat that we have right here at this moment is because of God sustaining us. Every breath we take is because of God giving us that breath. God is in complete control of our lives. The initiative is entirely his, motivated by divine love, not human merit. He's called the self-existing one. He has no dependent upon him, or he is not dependent upon us. His love is unconditional. We find this in this verse as well. He's so loved. This is a love that's beyond human measurement. It's active, it's self-giving, it's sacrificial. It's called agape in the Greek. That means self-sacrificing. It shows us what love is. The Scripture tells us that his love is vast, full, and free. It surpasses all human wisdom. It loves the unlovable. God loves because God is love. God's love is universal. God so loved the world. Each and every creature within this world, the world itself, the stars, the heavens, the sun, the moon, he loves his creation. God so loved the world. And yet it's personal. He sees individuals, not crowds. We find so many times in the Scriptures where it says that Jesus saw the people, individuals, in the crowds. He is concerned about individuals who make up these crowds. Think about that for a moment. He so loves the world, mankind, and in the sea of faces, he sees you. And he loves you. Love moves God to action. He gave. Remember, agape means to self-sacrifice. It means to give. That is God's nature. He gives because he is love. There are so many verses in the Bible, so many hymns and songs written expressing the plight of mankind, of you and me. In Romans 5, as it stated, that we were without strength, unable to earn or deserve his love. He says, even while we were sinfully sinful sinners sinning, that this loving God gave us the greatest gift. It cannot be earned. Christianity is not man reaching up to God, but God reaching down to us. What mankind has done for centuries, ever since Adam and Eve took the forbidden fruit, is try to reach God by various means. What Christians celebrate during this time of year is God coming down to meet us where we are. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, meeting us where we are. God didn't give an object, he gave himself in the person of his Son. Unlike the vast array of religions available that tell us to do, to earn, to obey in hopes of appeasing God, the Bible tells us God has torn down the wall of separation between us and him. Instead, he has, by the Lord Jesus Christ, put a cross-shaped bridge before us. The access is there. What do we need to do? This phrase, only begotten, it shows uniqueness, irreplaceability, and value. It's not that Jesus is the physical Son of God. Jesus called himself the Son of Man. He never called himself the Son of God. Everybody else called him the Son of God. He wanted to make an understanding so that people would realize that he is the one who brings together God and man, and he puts them together. When we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we see perfect man and perfect God. So it's not that Jesus is the physical Son of God. He is the exact representation of God. He is, as in Hebrews 1 says, the express image of God. In Philippians 2 says of him having the very nature of God. Christ would go on and say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's no difference. Jesus Christ is our God. Thinking about the sufficiency of his gift, Christ is enough for every sinner. Even you, even me. As the song says, Jesus loves even me. No additional sacrifice, ritual, or work is required, only trust in the Son. Every person born on this earth can receive the gift of God. No exceptions, no exclusions. Well, there is one requirement. Believe. The gift of God, though free to us, was costly to God. And we do this here at this local meeting every single Lord's Day, every single Sunday morning. We remember that cost and that sacrifice. The blood, the sweat, the tears, even the death. He did it for you. He did it for me. Our lives, our hearts, our core are stained with sin that cannot be removed by us. Only the blood of a sinless, eternal being can pay the price we owe. God so loved, Jesus gave. Have you received? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him. Whoever, it signals no exclusion. Ethnicity, background, history, failure, or weakness do not disqualify anyone. Not one of us can sin so much that we cannot receive the gift of God. Not one of us can be so good that we can bypass his gift and think we can be accepted by him. The condition is simple. Believe. Trust. Rely. Rest in Christ. The religions of this world say do, hope, pray, do some more, obey, and yet you're never going to know if you are satisfying God's requirements or not. The cross, the gospel tells us that Christ satisfied God's requirements on our behalf. The gospel is received, not achieved. You do not have to promise anything. You do not have to turn from sins. You do not have to change. Trust in him, believe in him, rely upon him, rest in him. Paul would go on to say, just as you have received Christ Jesus, continue to do that. Continue to live that life. How does one receive the Lord Jesus Christ? By faith. Simple faith. I trust you. How do we live this Christian life? Well, now I've got to struggle, and now I've got to obey, and now I've got to pray, and now I've got to do, and now I've got to give. No, you live the Christian life by faith. That's how we do it. All I can do is all that God wants me to do, believe and receive. The changing, the sinning less, the obedience, all of that comes after we trust in the Lord. That's discipleship and accountability, and it's still lived out by faith. It's not a condition for salvation. It's a subsequent work of God in the life of a believer. Those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, according to this verse that we're looking at this morning, whoever believes in him, what does it say? Shall not perish. Shall not, I don't use that word, that phrase. So what would be a better way to say that? Will not, should not. I just don't use shall anymore. It's just not a common word I use. But it means you won't. You will not. You should not. You cannot. That's what this is getting across. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall not, they will not, they cannot perish. This is freedom from eternal separation from God. On the flip side of that, what do they receive? According to this verse, it says, but have eternal life. And some of the translations will say everlasting life. I like to say it's both. And the reason why is eternal means there's no beginning and no ending. It is eternal. God is eternal. Everlasting means it has no ending. I believe that when I got saved, I received both of those, eternal and everlasting life. And we'll go through that as we go through this message this morning. So we receive everlasting or eternal life. It's a present possession, new life now, and it's a future hope, life forever. So eternal, everlasting, without end, or literally without beginning and without end. Jesus says of himself in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is the exclusion that is there. How does one get to the Father? By doing good, joining the church, baptism, repentance, saying I'll never sin again, all of these promises that we may make. There's only one way to the Father, and he tells us in John 14:6. This is the Lord's words himself. So he's the one that's speaking. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody is going to get to the Father except through Christ. He is the only way. So this word for life, it means Zoe, and that means it's eternal life. It's God's life that's being given to us. Again, I am one who believes that the gift of God is not an object. A lot of us will say that the gift of God is salvation. I have received salvation and I will be with God forever. That is technically true, but the scriptures actually teach us that we receive Christ himself. We receive a person. And because we receive a person, we get all of these benefits of being connected to him. And one of those benefits is salvation, being with God forever. But we get a person. He is the gift. Salvation is him. Eternal life is him. The way to the Father is him. John 3:16 reveals a complete salvation. It's a one-time deal. We've got the giver, God moved by love. God is love. We've got the gift, Jesus given in grace. Jesus so loved that he gave. We've got the gift receiver. Again, it's not exclusionary. It's anyone. I didn't talk about this, but who is the whoever? Raise your hand. We're the whoever. There's some people on Facebook, and I guess they're trying to witness and get out the message, but they'll say, and they'll have their name, and it'll say whosoever. And I guess it's a way of getting out the gospel that anybody can be saved. Anybody can find the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody can receive that life that God offers so freely. So it's a change of our lives, but it comes from that whosoever putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he continues to do that work in us. So we are the gift receiver. God is the giver. I've always looked at it since the Lord saved me is that I am a responder to his grace. There is nothing that I can do to add to what he has already done for me. The Bible says that he has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. What does that mean? I went over to Abby's house yesterday to help them do some things, and I saw the big tree that she had and all of these presents up under it. That's not it. That's material things. God says that he has given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Spiritual does not decay or corrode. It is for us for eternity. That's what God has done for us in giving us of his Son. So if you're here this morning and you have not received the greatest gift ever offered to mankind, offered to you, receive him today. There's no formula. There's no instructions that have to be followed except to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's it. It's not complicated. Do you deserve it? No. Growing up, the presents that I got, I didn't deserve any of those. Never got an allowance because my parents didn't believe in giving us an allowance that was free money. We had to earn what we got. This we cannot earn, and yet God says, please take it. Paul says that as they are ministering the gospel, they are begging, they're pleading on God's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's how much God wants us to be saved. He's begging and pleading. I remember when Abby was little, she's here, so I'm putting her on the spot. She would beg for different things. Most of the time it was candy or something like that. She follows after her daddy. But she would beg for those things, and then us, like the foolish people or suckers or whatever you want to call it, we would give in. And she learned over time, well, if I just shed a little bit of tears, then I might get my way. And we learned over time, okay, we can't keep doing this. We got to start breaking that habit. But we are able to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no manipulation, but God wants us to be with him for eternity. So we don't deserve it. None of us do. But ask anyone here today who has received the gift of God, who has received the Lord Jesus Christ, if they have ever regretted accepting him. I don't usually give this type of guarantee, but I will this morning. I guarantee that 100% of the people who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ have not regretted one single day. There's a lot of things that we probably do regret. I wish I hadn't have done this, or I wish I had done this, and the list goes on of those things. But most of us can say, I know when I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that that was the best thing that ever happened in my life, and I don't regret that one bit. That's the greatest gift that somebody can ever receive. No, nothing else that we can guarantee. But we can guarantee that that gift is something that we will never regret. So nothing wrapped and placed under a tree can compare to the free gift of God. I guess the plea this morning would be to be a whoever. If you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, do so. If you have received this gift, if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, it's time for us to start, and hopefully you're already doing this, but it's time for us to at least start. Live a life that shows how much we value the gift, how much we cherish and love the gift, and let's share the gift with others. I think about how many presents I've gotten over the years, and some of them really meant a lot to me, and I can still remember them today and probably still have them. And then there's others that I received that were a waste of money, were a waste of time, a waste of energy, didn't really mean anything to me. But then I start thinking, the one who gave me that gift, it probably really meant a lot to them. So how did I respond to receiving that gift? So however we feel like maybe God has let us down at some point in our lives, which He never has, but maybe we feel like that. We think about the gift that we have received and what He thought about that gift. Then hopefully that causes us as believers to start to see what that gift is and appreciate that gift more. What it took for God to give us that gift. What did it take? Blood, sweat, tears, death, so that we could receive the gift of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is Savior, that Jesus Christ is life itself. This physical life that we have this morning, it's going to cease to exist at some point. But if we have received the gift of God, we will live on for eternity, being with Him forever. Is that good, glad news that makes somebody leap for joy? Should be. It should be. Let's close. I don't know how much time y'all need it for the play or anything. Either way, this is, those of y'all who are guests here, this is probably the shortest message I've ever spoken, so. You can wipe the sweat off your foreheads or whatever you need to do. Let's close in prayer, and then whoever's in charge of the play will, whoever. All right. I'm just rolling with it this morning. So, our Father, we just are thankful that John 3:16 is in the Scriptures. We're thankful that it is something that stirs our hearts to worship and appreciate what has been given to us. There's no other gift that we can receive on this planet that is greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other love that can be shown that the love of the Father does not overwhelm and cause to be dull. Father, we are just so grateful that You so loved, that You so loved that You gave the very best. We think about our hearts and we say, well, maybe I'm not that bad. We're so much worse than we could ever think that we are. We know deep within our hearts that we don't deserve any good that You have shown us. And yet You have shown us that because God is love. Father, I pray that if there's any within this room this morning that have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would truly understand that this gift is available to them. None of us have done so much sins that we cannot be saved, and none of us have done so much good that we don't need to be saved. All of us need the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us need that gift of God that takes away the sins of the world. So, Father, we just worship You this morning. We pray that as we transition to the children's play, that it would be, again, just a reflection on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Help us to truly have a heart that doesn't just accept what we've heard, but actually puts it into action. There's so many within this world that are dying who have no understanding of who You are. And we are the hands and feet of Christ. We are the mouthpiece of Christ to share that good news with them. Somebody took the time to share it with us. Help us to take the time to share it with others. We praise you. We worship you. In Christ's name, amen.